Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good to see you. I'm doing good. Thank you. Good to see a number of faces that I recognize. There's always some that we don't recognize because when you're only here every year or a couple of years, it's just people move in and out and it's just hard to get to know everybody. But it is good to be back here and it's good to be sharing a little bit of what God has been up to and what our life has, what has been transpiring in our life. We were probably last here a little over a year ago sharing how we were returning to Mexico City and going to be continuing to serve there and some ideas of what that might look like and how that might work out as we were preparing to go overseas for 4 years. Here we are a year later, somewhat uncomfortably settled back into a smaller temporary house that we are very grateful for. That's not a complaint. As we transition back to life in Canada. And so what happened? How did things go about? First of all, we're not under discipline. We didn't do anything bad. You would have received a letter about that. Nobody would be letting me be up here if we were kicked out because of bad conduct. So it wasn't that. Let's just take that off the table right away. The reality is that anytime you're working with an organization, the organization has to set goals, has to set direction, has to say, where are we going, what are we doing? Because I don't care what organization you're in, you've got a limited amount of money, you've got a limited amount of resources, and you have to make decisions what you're going to do with them. That is the reality in our case. Mexico City, and Mexico in general, is a heavily, I don't want to quite say heavily Christian, but it is in a lot of ways heavily Christian. The Christian and Missionary Alliance, from the time when A.B. Simpson started it, the goal and the focus has always been to say, how do we reach the least reached people? How do we take the gospel to people who do not have the opportunity to hear the gospel? And that has always been the goal of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and that has always been the goal of the Alliance in Canada. And there's been this reality, and I believe I even shared it with you last time we were here, where Mexico City does not fit well in that paradigm. Because when you look at Mexico as a whole, they have a higher percentage of evangelical Christians in Mexico than we do in Canada. And so when you're looking at it and you're going, How do we reach the least reached people? There has been, both within our team and from a national perspective, this question hanging over us saying, what exactly are we doing in Mexico with such a large team in Mexico City? If our goal is to reach the least reached people, why do we have so many people in a place where it is more reached than the country they are coming from? And that is a fair question, and as a team we have struggled with that, and as national leadership there has been that struggle. And the point finally, it just with some change in leadership and some reshifting in dynamics and strategic goals, sort of came to the point where they said, we need to make a change. And we're sort of at the leading edge of that change. Now, it doesn't mean it'll happen overnight. Doesn't mean they're pulling everybody back from Mexico. There is still some sense where they look at Mexico and go, you know, there's still another step to take with the Mexican church there to help them become a sending church where they are sending missionaries. There is some work in the closeness of Canada. There's opportunities to say, how can we send our missionaries down there for apprenticeships and internships because it's close and it's relatively accessible and inexpensive, and we can send a lot of people there to train them and then send them out to other places. So there's still a role for Mexico, and it looks like that will be a large part of their focus, is on developing and training people for the future as well as helping the Mexican church mobilize. But at the same time, they were looking and going, we only need so many people to do that. And so at the end of the day, the decision was made that we would return home to Canada. And that was a decision that, from our perspective, came very quickly and very suddenly. And it has been a challenge, to say the least. It has been a very, very rapid shift in direction. And we are still working through a lot of the impacts of that, a lot of the emotional, the financial shifts and whatnot. And I'm not saying the Alliance is abandoning us. That's not what I'm meaning to say. But anytime you change direction and make a rapid change in your life, there's a lot that goes into that. And we're still working through a lot of that. And so as far as how we're doing personally, it's been a challenge. Anytime you leave something you love and people that you love and dreams and hopes and plans that you had and have to go in a different direction, it's a challenge. And some of you have been through that. Some of you have lost your job. Some of you have gone through very trying times in many different ways. We all face it at different times in different ways. And right now is just a season where we get to face that. So it is a challenge, to be perfectly honest, and we have good days and we have bad days, and we appreciate and we continue to ask for your prayer as we transition and as we consider what comes next. We do have a window here where financially we're doing okay and we're taken care of, where we can be inquiring of God, and that's what we're doing, and sort of putting all options on the table and saying, okay, God, where are you leading us and what's our next step? So as you pray for us over the coming months, that would be a big one, is that just God would guide us to say, here's what I want you to do and where I want you to land. And so that's our update. We are settled into a temporary home in Tofield as we try to figure out what direction God will have us go and where we are going. So that's sort of one question that a lot of people have. That's a brief update, and of course there's always a million more details, but only so much time to share that. But that's a big question that people have. Another big question that people have is just related to missions in general, and in particular, because we work with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, what is going on with missions in the Alliance? And to just share some of that, I think it's useful to look at three different sections. The first part is, what is our message? And regardless of where we're going or what we're doing or how we're doing it, the message of Christ doesn't change. And it was quite interesting to hear Tim Keller mentioned. I appreciate Tim Keller, a lot of what he writes. And the message of his podcast, or the name of his podcast, The Gospel of Life. Because in so many ways, especially recently, but for years actually, that phrase in particular, that I don't know if I've ever heard it from anybody else, so I was fascinated to hear it suddenly dropped in this service, but that is the message that we have. It is the good news of life. If you look at Scripture, if you begin in the book of Genesis, which I come back to that all the time, what we find is this fascinating story in Genesis 1 where God is creating everything and setting everything up, and there can be all sorts of discussions and debates about how God did that and what it means and how to interpret that. Set those all aside. Right now, the main focus is God very deliberately created a world that was perfect for us and then created us and put us in that. He created this entire world and then gave us the gift of life. Now, I don't know how often we reflect on that or think about it. A lot of times, you can say with some other religions and beliefs that life is suffering. And there's some truth to that. But life is a gift. And when we look at the creation narrative, God created this world for us and then placed us here and gave us life. And it's such an incredible gift. And we feel it sometimes. We notice it. We experience it in those moments when perhaps we're out in nature walking around and just seeing the incredible beauty of the world that God created us. times when we're spending time with friends and with family and with loved ones, and you're laughing about stuff, or you're playing games, or you're just enjoying being with them, and so many different experiences, those moments when you can just feel overwhelmed and just amazed that life is good, that this is a gift, that this is amazing, this is a beautiful thing. And yes, we know that sin entered the world. That's where that saying that life is pain comes from. Because there's this reality in which God made us and created us and gave us life. But then rather than staying connected with God, I find it fascinating that God was there with them, that he brought the animals to Adam. I think there was this desire that God made us in his image to live in this world, to rule over this world, but to do it with him. And instead, we disconnected from God, and we continue in so many ways to disconnect from God. And we suffer from this disease called sin, where instead of looking to God and trusting in God, and instead of following his ways and obeying his ways, we try to do it all ourselves, as if we had somehow created this life, as if we can somehow sustain it, as if we can somehow figure out the best way to do it, and the result is that life is pain. Because this sin corrupts us, it corrupts others, it interferes with our relationships. It interferes with our relationship with God. It destroys us from inside. It destroys us from outside. And so we live in this world where we have glimpses, where we can feel, where we can recognize the gift that God has given us, and yet at the same time, we are both corrupted and assailed by the disease of sin, destroying that life that God intended for us. And it can be hard. And then we have Jesus entering into things and saying in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. It is fascinating that Jesus came and his focus was life. His promise is eternal life. His presence, his spirit given to us, allows us to know how to live, allows us to break free from that disease and from that sinfulness that tears us down, and allows us to understand how God wants us to live, gives us his spirit to connect with God so that we can live the way he's called us to live. And so often we get caught up in this idea where we look at it and we go, oh, God is this angry God who's mad at us all the time, and he's demanding us to be holy, and we can't do it well enough. And I think when we understand the concept of God's gift of life that he's given us, and our responsibility for embracing too often the sinfulness of life, we begin to understand God's anger. It's not because God is an angry, demanding God. It's because God has given us this gift and we are destroying it. How angry do we get at our kids when they turn around and do something bad? Is it because we hate our kids? No. It's because we love them. It's because we know how they are supposed to live, because we know if they would just listen to our advice, their life would be better, and their brothers' lives would be better, and our life would be better too, by the way, if they would just listen to it. And so as parents, there is anger sometimes. Why? Not because we are angry, maybe for some of us, but because they are taking this gift of life and they are wrecking it for themselves or for others. And that is where we see God's anger. Because so many people have not just dabbled in sin, but have embraced it and embraced it wholeheartedly. And in doing so, they are destroying their lives, they are destroying the lives of others, they are impacting society. And it's just not a good situation. But if we understand and if we look at it through this lens of the gospel of life, that God has created us for life and has offered us life. And that gives us a different perspective on holiness. It's not that God is some angry God who is just angry and just demanding that we be perfect. It's that God is going, I want you to have what I've intended for you, and you just won't take it. And so we are called to holiness, not because God's angry, but because it's an incredible gift if we'll just embrace it. And this is the message that we have. The message that we take to the world, to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends, to other nations, is just this idea that God has created us for life. God wants to offer us life. And in the midst of all this sinfulness, Jesus has come. He's destroyed the power of death, as we sang in one of the songs. He's taken care of that, and he's offering us life. Will you take it? Will you accept it? Will you walk by his ways so that you can experience that life and others around you can experience that life instead of the sin and the destruction that so often surrounds us? And so that message does not change. That is the message that we have to proclaim, whether it's here or whether it's anywhere else in the world. But the second part is that missions has changed and is changing. And there are two big things that are changing in regards to missions. The first one is that the mission field is coming here. For years, growing up in an evangelical church, you would pray for the missionaries. You would send them out. You would pray for all these heathen people, if you use that language. That's old language. You don't usually talk about heathens much anymore. But you would pray for people who didn't know, and God, please reach them. Use this missionary to take the gospel to them where it hasn't been heard before so that these people can hear the gospel. Most of those people are now here in Canada in some form or another. It is no longer a case where the only way to reach these people is to send missionaries. They're all coming here. And that is a massive change. And it is a massive, huge opportunity. And it's fascinating and heartbreaking to me so often to hear, and this is in general, but I hate to say it, but it does permeate the Christian church as well. This attitude and this feeling sometimes that all of these immigrants are coming here, and if only Canada was the way that it used to be, why do we need to let all these people in? They're destroying our country. They're changing our country. That, from a Christian perspective, is a dramatic misunderstanding of who God is and what he has called us to do. We as Christians should be leading the charge to welcome and invite people from all other nations to Canada. Is it going to change our country? Yes. But it changed our country when we all arrived. We all know the saying, the only constant thing in life is change. So rather than complaining about the change, rather than complaining about people from different nationalities or different cultures, let's lead the change. Let's embrace them. Let's welcome them. Let's invite them. Let's meet them. Let's help them to settle here. Let's point them in the process to the gospel of Christ, to the gospel of life. Because everybody in the world is looking for life and desiring a better life, an abundant life. And we have this message where we say, we believe it is found in Jesus. We believe he conquered death. And not only that, we believe by following his ways, we can be guided into the best life available and have hope for eternal life. It is... I don't want to rub too many people the wrong way. Hopefully I'm not. But honestly, as a Christian, if we understand the love of God for all people and his desire throughout the entirety of scriptures to reach all people, It's pretty hard not to view anti-immigration concepts as a sin. If we have honestly been praying that the gospel would reach all people, and they are showing up here, then we should be running into that with arms wide open. So that is the first change. The second change is that all of the easy places have been taken. Anybody who wants to allow Christians into their country has allowed them in. The only places left are places where they don't want Christians. What does that mean? It means, in a lot of ways, the role of what we have viewed for the last 50, 100, 150 years as the traditional role of missionaries is going to shrink. In fact, even when Tara and I started into our ministry, they came to us and they said, there are three places that you can go. Why were there only three? Because everywhere else wasn't open to us. We are entering as Bible school educated people. So we've got on our resume 4 years in Bible school, then multiple years in church ministry, and then going to the missions field. Guess what? Most of the places that need the gospel are not going to let us in. And even now, that was a factor in us coming back to Canada. That most of the places where they're trying to send people aren't going to let us in. What does that mean? What do both of these things mean? It means there's a radical shift in missions. And it means that it's your turn. It's not that there is no place for the traditional missionary. It's not that the Alliance will not be sending some traditional missionaries to some countries. It's not that they don't still need the Global Advance supported and helped and whatnot. But more and more, the focus is going to shift. And it's going to shift from biblically trained scholars to average people reaching the kingdom or reaching the nations here in Canada and overseas. Because anymore, the way that if we're going to go to these least reached nations, if somebody's actually going to go to them, the way you do that is through business, like Mark and Maria, through justice and compassion, doing, you know, helping people in tragedies and difficult circumstances, or through a job where you take a job in another country and you show up and you do that job, and while you're there, you make disciples. So that means that missions, in a lot of ways, is shifting from us, the traditional missionaries, to you, the average church attender. And so the third thing that I want to do, just very briefly, is to give you a crash course in being a missionary. What does it mean to be a missionary then? If it's falling to you and not to us, what does that mean? What does that look like? The first one is quite simple. We live the message that we believe. This is a traditional call to holiness, but again, without that burdensome weight of God being angry all the time, but recognizing God has given us a life and the way of life and his presence and guidelines for how to live that life. And so how do we do that? When we're going into the missions field, one of the first things you learn is you need to be connected to God and you need to be living in such a way that you will bring honor and glory to God. And if we are doing, if you are all up to reach the nations with the gospel, that's our first step, is to simply grab on to this gospel of life that God has given us. Not out of the sense of God's going to be angry if we don't, but out of the incredible opportunity that God is wanting to show us how to live and how to walk through our life day by day by aligning our actions with his guidelines and becoming beacons of light stars shining in the darkness, as Paul puts it in Philippians 2, in a world that is desperate for life but doesn't know how to find it. And so step number one is just to live the life that God has offered us, to embrace Him and His ways so that people will see that. Step number two is to proclaim this life to others. I know we're getting into really complicated stuff here. But if you look around at Jesus, what did he do? He went to people and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." He, in a variety of ways, said, "Here is God, here's who he is, and here's how you live." He went and he told people about God. Why? Because it's good news. It's the gospel. It's the good news of life. And so we share that with people, whether they're from another country or not. We share it with people. And if you look at the third thing then, is we demonstrate what the kingdom of God looks like. So often in Jesus' ministry can be summed up by these two ideas. He proclaimed and he showed. He said, the kingdom of God is coming. Here's what it's going to look like. And so as we go, whether it's us as missionaries, as we went into the field, that was the idea. You proclaim to people about Jesus and you show them the love of God and say, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And the last thing is simply that we do so intentionally. There is this well-studied phenomenon called similarity bias. And basically it says anybody, everybody, from any nationality, from any people group, from any economic status, whatever, you gravitate to people who are similar to you. It's just what we do. We have a limited number of connections and relationships we can keep up, and so we tend to gravitate to people who look like us, who have a similar lifestyle to us, who are in a similar position to us, and that's just the way everybody in the world is. And living as a missions-focused person, you have to be aware of that, and you have to say, how do I step out of my comfort zone and be intentional about reaching out to other people, and especially people from other nationalities? That's it. I know people look at missionaries and tend to think that, you know, they've got this fantastic training and they've got this incredible, you know, it's not that. It really isn't. Being a missionary just meant for us, you go to a different country and then you live out the gospel. You proclaim the gospel. You show people what the kingdom of God will look like. And you're just intentional about the connections you make. That's it. It's not that complicated. So it's your turn. It's not that there won't be traditional missionaries. We don't anticipate going back into the field right now. We're expecting to just try to have some stability here in Canada for a while. Who knows what the future will bring, but for now, we're just going to expect to be here in Canada. But the missions field is coming to us. And the places where we can still send people are likely going to go with some sort of business or some sort of job. And that's not going to be us. That's going to be a lot of you, because you have training that people are looking for. They're looking for doctors. They're looking for teachers. They're looking for economic people. They're looking for help with agricultural stuff. And that's how, as Christians, we are going to get into a lot of these countries. But once we get there, what do? We live the way Christ called us to. We proclaim Christ. We show Christ. And we do it intentionally. And you can start doing that here. I don't have much else to say. We have deeply appreciated your support for us as we've served overseas. The partnership that you had with us, the opportunity to speak to you and to share with you, the many of you who prayed for us, it has been very meaningful to us. And it is certainly our desire to continue serving God, to continue proclaiming this message that we have. But in terms of reaching the world, it's all of us. It's not just us. I'm going to pray to close. Heavenly Father, we are all in many, many different situations. Some are traumatic, some are difficult. But Lord, may our focus always be on this gospel of life that you've given us. May that message undergird everything that we experience and live through. May we know that you have come to offer us life, to show us how to live now, to promise us life in the future. And may that confidence and that faith in that inspire us and walk us through whatever situation we face. But Lord, I pray for each person here. God, may they feel your hand and your spirit heavy upon them, inviting them to life and calling them to open their eyes and to see the harvest around them, the mission field around them, both friends and families, but also people from other nationalities who are showing up here and who need to hear your gospel. And may we as your church lead the charge to welcome them, to love them, to point them to the truth of life that comes from you. God, we thank you for your presence with us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. And I'd like to also ask Tara Lynn to come up. And we're grateful that three of the boys are here and they're spread around our congregation, and we're not going to ask them to come up to the front, but we're also going to pray for you. But we just want to, on behalf of our missions leadership team and our congregation, just want to say thank you. Thank you, Chris and Tara Lynn, for partnering with us. And I feel like we're going to continue to partner because once again, you've challenged us to really be part and parcel of that gospel of life. And so just thank you for just the ways in which you have lived out that calling, not just in Mexico, Venezuela, Costa Rica, other places you've been, and the way you will continue to live that out in whatever God has for you, which we will be praying with you as he continues to unfold his plan for you. And you'll hopefully have other opportunities to maybe expand our appreciation for you. But for today, we just want to say thank you, and we want to pray for you. And we want to, and I would also want to just ask us as a congregation, Chris and Tara Lynn will be here after the service, just to, if God puts it on your heart to particularly pray for them during their transition time and as they wait for the next steps, would you just like go up to them and tell them that and encourage them? And hopefully we will, continue to journey with you. But let's just pray for them and for their family. And let's pray with that anticipation during this time of waiting, that the God of transition will be revealing a new chapter of just how and where they will unfold the gospel of life to those, the people that God puts into your sphere of influence. So let's pray. So Father, we just thank you so much for Chris, Tara, for Darian, for Avery and Caden and Tanner, and we just thank you for them as a family, the ways in which your hand has been on their lives, the ways in which you have used them to spread that the aroma of Christ as they have introduced people to that gospel of life, as they've lived it out, as they've demonstrated it. And we pray for them as they walk through this, the valley of transition. Some of us, many of us, probably all of us, as we think of transitions, we think of times when it looks like the steps ahead are cloudy and hazy and uncertain, and we just have no clue where they're leading. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you lead one step at a time, that you unfold your path, and then suddenly we understand all of the preparation you've poured into us, all of the things that you've developed in us, that you will continue to use that in the next step that you have already been preparing for us. And so we pray that that will be the experience for Chris and for Tara, that they would just say, oh, so this is what you have. This is what you've planted in us in order that we can be sharing with others. We pray for as they go and say goodbye to the churches that have been part of their lives, and as they just meet with various people, I just pray that you would be in each conversation and in each step of the way. Pray for the boys as they continue to adjust to their school back in Tofield. We pray for Darian as he begins his studies in Sweden. And we'd just ask, dear Father, that you would just give to each one of them what they need in these days. And we just thank you for this family and for all the ways that they have, that they do, and that they will continue to radiate you in wherever you place them. And we just pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.